Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Wrestling Omakase is back, baby. The weekly podcast that takes you across all the top promotions of the entire Japanese wrestling scene, from New Japan to Stardom, NOAH, DDT, All Japan, Marigold, Dragon Gate, Tokyo Joshi, Sendai Girls, and a whole lot more. I'm John Carroll, a fan of Japanese wrestling for over 20 years, and every week I'm joined by a rotating cast of guest co-hosts as we break down all the top promotions in Japan, men's and women's. Check out Wrestling Omakase right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network today.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart. Check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states, thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
You're listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 91 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can listen to us on all of your favorite podcast apps and on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review, and we're on Blue Sky and X. And you can also donate to the show if you go to voiceofwrestling.com/donate. I'm Gerard, back with Paul. And Paul, we have a lot to get to, and it's going to be a roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, for sure. It's a roller coaster of promotions as well.
It's also a roller coaster of promotions.
Is this the most we've covered on like one show?
I don't think so. I think we've done four different companies before, but not very often.
Yeah.
But so the first promotion we're going to talk about, it's really quick. I just watched like two matches before we started. And one of them I had wanted to watch for a while. So, yes, we're going to go to Big Japan. And, yes, it still exists.
I still need to buy my front row tickets, actually. They still have, like, front row tickets available for their, like, December Korakuen.
Oh, God.
Like, I need to jump on that. They're only like 7,000 yen.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Why not?
Just yeah, exactly.
Be careful.
I mean, maybe down the line, I will have to like pay for like whatever light tube dust I will inhale there. But, you know, I feel like that will still be dangerous no matter where I sit in Kirk, and it's a small enough building. So I might as well just get the full view.
So on August 11th, there was a show at Korakuen, and I watched Shuji Ishikawa defeating Hideyoshi Kamatani in 13 minutes and 22 seconds. Of the two big Japan matches I watched, this was a better one. This is not what these guys were doing to each other 9-10 years ago now. But
no, of course not.
They still beat the shit out of each other with lots of headbutts.
And yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's like, what is Kamatani's role even now on the big Japan roster? Like, is he just like the gatekeeper for like Daichi, essentially?
I think so. I mean, he was in the deathmatch division for a while, actually, probably until a few months ago. And wasn't he double champion?
Yes. Yeah, he was double champion for a while.
And although he seems to be back just in the strong division.
I low-key think they might be getting rid of the death division. I have a bad feeling.
Well, then what's the point?
Yeah. That's a very good question.
There's no way they would draw even fewer people to Korakuen if this is just all strong.
But like, they're going to literally run out of people. Like, there's literally like just not enough people doing deathmatch wrestling anymore. There aren't really any people come. Like, there definitely aren't enough. Weirdly, deathmatch wrestling right now is kind of like Japanese, like population, essentially, where like there just aren't enough people coming after, and like something will have to give eventually.
Yeah, but I think some of those old guys are clearly still hanging on.
Yeah, but eventually you won't have Abdullah Kobayashi forever, and they just like they have like one or two guys in the pipeline really, and there's like six people that could retire in the next year.
Yeah, it's not looking good. Big Japan's not going to close because they couldn't. They ran out of money to run shows. They ran out of wrestlers.
They ran out of wrestlers, yeah.
That's the way it ends. Not because it's broke down too many times.
It's like Yuya Aoki wrestling himself. That's going to be the last show.
Yeah. So, I mean, is the match worth a watch if you have core? I mean, I think so. I mean, it's only 13 minutes. And, I mean, Ishikawa won. And it's leading to Daichi Hashimoto versus Shuji Ishikawa on September 14th at Korakuen, which I'm very interested in seeing just to see what happens. And frankly, this is probably just bout the big dog.
Probably, yeah. I mean, it's not like Daichi is that much more exciting. Yeah, you might as well just put it on Ishikawa.
Well, speaking of Daichi, let's go to August 24th at Death Mania 13, which I can't remember. It drew very
poorly. Yeah.
305 people in Aichi Toyota Gosei Memorial Gymnasium. I mean, this had the strong title was third from the top. And so the semi-main was for the deathmatch title, Yasuyaku Ito defeating Akira to win the deathmatch title. And then the main event was 100 fluorescent light tubes tower and alpha deathmatch, Toru Segura defeating Michio Kageyama.
Yeah. I mean, you would hope that if you load a card up like that, you would draw better.
Well, is that really a loaded card?
It's a loaded card in a so far as there's two title matches there, you know?
Yeah.
And Death Mania generally has drawn pretty well. Like, I think that's definitely way below what last year's done.
Well, it is what it is. So, Hashimoto defeated Buzzard in 1604 with like the DDT, the implant DDT type thing he does. I can't remember. Maybe he's got a special name for it. So like I've said, Hashimoto is like, become a competent wrestler. That's his baseline, right? He's not like bad or boring as shit. And that's still true, but he didn't really turn it up here. So he didn't give Buzzard a lot to work with. So it was a little dry. Yeah. It wasn't horrible or anything. You know, like 3 stars, 3.25 at best. You know, Buzzard was trying, but, you know, Hashimoto just worked his like second gear.
Yeah, Loki was hoping that they would go all the way with Buzzard because that at least would have been like some buzz. You know, but like that at least would have been like a fresh guy. Like as much as I think like putting it on Ishikawa is a good idea, that's not, you know, a fresh thing to do really.
No. I don't know. I think so. Hashimoto won the title in May, that was his second defense. Mm-hmm. That's enough. Just give it to Ishikawa.
Yeah. No.
See, the thing is, I'm like, okay, I need to see what's going on in Big Japan, and then I can never like bring myself to it unless I absolutely have to. But Ishikawa as the champion, I will make sure to watch all those title matches right away.
Yeah, I mean, I would still maybe see who's the opponent, but definitely like it goes further up the like priority queue, that's for sure.
Absolutely, I would say so. So that's my very brief foray into Big Japan, but yeah, it was not good.
No, I really need to go there.
the crowd got into Ishikawa versus Kamatami, where they're like headbutting each other.
I would run that back as a title match eventually if you give Ishikawa like a decently long reign.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to the 2 days of Peter Pan. I did not watch, and I refused to watch these entire shows.
To be fair, these weren't that like they have been worse Peter Pans. I think it helped that they split it into 2 days.
So Paul, how much of these shows did you watch?
I kind of watched everything, but
okay.
Honestly, I don't really have a lot to say about a lot of the undercard.
Well, what the one thing I wanted to ask you about the undercard, because I wanted to watch this match, mm-hmm. and then it really slipped my mind until now when I saw it on the list. Did you watch the Hinata Kasai debut match?
Yes, I watched his debut match. I don't think he's a super rookie. I don't think he's like a guy where like you go in and you're like, oh yeah, this is like, this guy very clearly has like similar talent level to his dad or whatever. But it's also very clear that he comes in with a bit more knowledge than your average rookie as well, right? Because he comes from a wrestling background. Like, I think he's a little bit further along than your average rookie. Like, I think there's something there. I can't quite put my finger on it yet, what that actually is. If that means that he'll be like, you know, go down a similar career path to his dad, or if he sticks with like more regular wrestling as well. Like, I think he has the aptitude for that, but then again, so does his dad. But I mean, they also put him in there with Hirashima. I think that helps as well, right? Like, who better to guide a rookie through a match than Hirashima? But again, I wouldn't say that I'm like, he's somebody you immediately need to put on your list for like potential like rookie of the year or something. But he's definitely worth keeping an eye on, I would say that.
He's no Daiki Odoshima.
No, he definitely isn't like a Daiki Urashima. Yeah, no. Like, he's not like a guy that immediately pops off the page.
So, I didn't see anything else until the New Japan guys. So, tag match. So, is there anything else you wanted to say about that undercard?
I guess the Toy or Kuroko match. I mean, if you like DDT comedy and everything, right? Like, I think that's something. Like, I think that that's something you can watch and, like, you're going to enjoy that one. I don't think that's really worth it. No, honestly, not really, to be quite honest. I'm like looking through there. I'm trying to like see, okay, what do I remember about this that's like really worth mentioning? But I'm like, no. Like the only one is like, obviously like the extreme title match. That's a bit of a like with the stipulation and everything. But then otherwise, yeah.
So then we pick all the way up to the eighth match of the show, third from the top, Dramatic Dream Tag Match. Zack Sabre Jr. and Kosei Fujita defeated Chris Burks and Takashi Masada in 1949 with the Clarky Cat on Sabre for Masada for the submission. And this is pretty good, pretty great. I would give it the second best match of the show by far.
Oh, yeah, I know. I would consider, like, I was actually considering maybe if this is my favorite match of the show. I don't think it's quite there, but, like, it's definitely like really high up there. I love this match. Like, I think Kosei Fujita is coming along really, really nicely. Like, he's like, they're very clearly building him up to be the like ace of the like New Japan Junior Division going forward. I think Zach, I think is in a weird position. I think Zach might be like wrapping stuff up, to be quite honest. That's the feeling I get.
He's gonna drop the title to Takeshita and.
I mean, like, he's gonna, he the Brooks match, I think, is a really, like, because that's what happened after this match, right? Like,
right.
Like, they, like, set up a singles match between the two. That's gonna happen in November. And then, what's the other one? Like, he's gonna wrestle on an indie show. Which one was that again?
Oh, Tenryu Project against Kari.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, so he's doing that. You know, that feels so strongly, like, just, you know, ticking off the list, essentially. Like, take off the list before you go kind of match. No, otherwise, again, but the match itself, I think, was really, really good. can't really complain about the win. Like, obviously, the IWGP Heavyweight Champion is going to win. Like, I don't think the like outcome was ever in any doubt here.
But yeah. I thought it was funny that, you know, they did the comedy early on, and then it was basically Sabre no selling it. It was
yes,
I got hit with the long string or whatever you want to call it, and then Sabre just kicked the puppet really quickly.
And no, then, that was pretty good.
And I thought the finish was great because Masada went for that like spinning kick off the second rope and then caught him in the ankle lock and then turned it into the Clarky Cat.
No, that was really cool. No, I mean that's always like Zach's foray, right? Like it's like he'll always try and find like a new way to catch somebody into submission, and I always admire that. And yeah, this was really cool finish.
So the KOD tag team title, Yuki Ino and Yuki Onai defeated Daisuke Sasaki and Hideki Okutani in like 16 minutes when Naya pinned Sasaki, but Sasaki was injured and had been lying on the ground. This wasn't actually that bad. It was a little better than I thought it would be. Sasaki wasn't offensive, and Okutani's heel character is actually really good. I got it. Because when he was a babyface, he was a little bit of a... When he was in Destruction? No.
Eruption.
Yeah. You know, he's pretty bland babyface.
Was very bland. Yeah, he was basically just... Like, I mean, he was literally a white meat babyface, but he was literally an unseasoned white meat babyface. It was very boring.
Yeah, he's a really good heel.
He desperately needed that. I think that literally, like, I mean, maybe saying it saved his career is maybe... Nah, you know what? No, I don't think it's strong. Because I don't think he would have gone anywhere with the character that he had previously. And I think now he has got something to, like, build on going forward. So, No, I think that was definitely the right decision. I also really like Naya and Ino as the champions.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're really good. I enjoyed this match a lot more as well. I mean, I went in maybe with not super low expectations, but it's always like Daisuke Sasaki. I'm like, how much? Like, he just can't go anymore. Like, it's just completely shot. So,
yeah.
But he didn't drag the match down, and I like the other three guys. So, yeah, no, I definitely enjoyed this one.
So, next up, the main event for the KO Championship. Openweight title, Kazusada Higuchi defeated Jun Akiyama in 17:41 with a claw pinfall to make a second defense of the KOD title. And this was pretty great. This was what you wanted it to be, and Akiyama decided to do his one performance of the year. And unlike someone we'll talk about later, he can still do that one great performance of the year.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. I don't want to know what Akiyama just doesn't have. Like, does he just not have a neck, or is just his like neck muscle routine just has to be insane? Just like that he can still take like bumps like this at his age with the style that he's been wrestling since like, you know, the 90s.
33 years.
Kind of insane. Again, at like look at his contemporaries.
33 years this month, actually. He did it in 92, I believe. So.
Look at his contemporaries who either had to retire because of horrific injuries or literally died in the fucking ring. And he's just still out here. Like, is he 10 years older now than Misawa was when he died? I think so.
Yes, he was, because Misawa would have been like 46, 47.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, he's still out here, like, 10 years like later. And he's still getting Higuchi toss him around.
He lasted longer than all of his other guys. Kawada stopped wrestling when he was like 46, 47. Tawai was like maybe 52. Kobashi was like, what, 45? How old? Because he ended in...
Yeah.
Yeah, he was 46. So, but he's out here at...
And heck, he's a better wrestler than like guys that are like, you know, 10 years his junior, which we'll get to later.
He's 55.
That's just insane. Yeah,
he lasted longer than all those guys and still can go to a high level. I mean, he's not going to do this every night.
No, obviously
this will be his one big match of this year.
Exactly. Like, the fact that he can still go at this level at all is a miracle.
Yeah. So what did you think of the finish with Higuchi kicking out of the wrist clutch and then just grabbing the claw?
Yeah, no, I thought that was awesome. That's exactly what you need to do. Like, there's no need to put that. Like, again, we just talked about how old he is, right? and that he can really only go like once per year. There's no reason to protect Drew Nakayama for anything. Like, if anything, this is exactly what you should do, where Higuchi is just like, no, old man, I will kick out of, I will not just kick out of your finish, I will then just immediately grab you, hit my own finish, and end the match, because fuck you. I thought that, and, like, that put over Higuchi, like, huge.
And, you know, Akiyama had still already demonstrated in the match that he could still go, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
He did his fair share of near falls and everything like that.
This wasn't just, like, Higuchi beating up an old man for, like, 15 minutes, and then you kind of feel bad for him, and then, like, the, like, wrist cross exploder was, like, the only thing he really got. Like, no, like they had, like, a decent back and forth and everything. Like, they showed that, like, it was still a match that Higuchi was, like, you know, the dominant guy in overall, but, like, it's not,
but,
like...
Oh, but Akiyama got points,
like... Exactly. Akiyama got enough offense. He showed that he can hang, like, they can still hang, but, like, at the end of the day, Higuchi is just the guy now, so he will, like, just be like, nah, fuck your finish, and also the match is over now because I say so. Just, yeah. Like, same with, like, the Hirashima finish. Like, I love both of those finishers. They just made, like, they both made Higuchi just look like an absolute monster.
So we move on to the next day. Oh, yes. And then it'll be November 3rd at Ultimate Party in Sumo Hall, Sabre versus Brooks. So next day, August 31st at Corken Hall. No attendance announced here from what I see at Pearl Love, but it was pretty packed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because for some reason, DDT doesn't announce attendances this year, despite the fact that their attendances are very clearly, like, recovered very well.
Okay. Paul, I didn't watch the undercard, and I didn't watch the tag match either, but I watched everything after that. So do you want to say anything about...
Let me just look over it. I guess, like, the only one you might want to watch is the... Actually, I like the opener well enough. Like, that was, like, like, high-flying, like 6 minutes in and out, just get the crowd into it. Everybody does their spots. Like, that was fun. The match after that, I guess maybe you want to watch it simply because of, like, kind of what happened at the end of the show.
Right.
But then again, Hirata, like, yeah, wasn't really involved with the finish. then, yeah, the freeway was kind of nothing. I did like the tag match, actually. I did like the tag title match.
Inanaya was Rushmore Toyoki.
You should watch that one. I don't, like, it wasn't like a blowaway match or anything like that. I liked it a little bit more than the one on night one, but it was a bit shorter as well. But yeah, no, that was great fun. Like, Naya just kind of, like, bouncing around and doing his thing. That was good. Like, especially with Hirashima. Like, those two just, I think, have really, really great chemistry. Just overall really solid tag match, nothing blow away. But yeah, that's it basically.
So for the DDT Universal title, Minoru Suzuki defeated Mao in 17:50 with a gotched out pile driver to make his fourth defense of the title. And frankly, I was sort of surprised at this result. I thought this was the moment to crown Mao, getting a big win over a veteran like Suzuki. My God, Mao got something decent out of Suzuki.
Yeah, this is like the best Suzuki singles match in like
a
long time.
Well, it's funny. Okay, so I could tell you the best Suzuki singles match before this. I don't know if you've seen Takayama Mania. I haven't because it aired live on Abima. So maybe it'll end up on Wrestle Universe at some point. Mm-hmm. But the best Suzuki singles match before this, that Mao match, was against Shibata at the last Takayama Mania.
Yeah, no, I can see that. No, I didn't see that one, but to be fair, I have heard good things about that. But yeah, I mean, but then aside from that, like, I think it's been a while since he've had like a match this good, really.
Oh yeah, I mean, Suzuki was definitely motivated, but I mean, Mao just being crazy also helped.
Yes, no, absolutely. Like, Mao was just like, "Nah, I'll take whatever bump you want to suggest to me. I don't care."
Yeah. So, you know, he pulled it out of him, which is great. Yeah. So I don't know. Though the question is then, are you going to be able to top this with Suzuki's next Universal title match?
Probably not.
No. So that's why it was probably time
to take it off of him. And like, I don't get what they're doing with, like, maybe they feel like Mao isn't gonna stick around, really. I don't know.
Yeah,
it feels weird. I mean, don't get what they're doing with Mao.
People are so much speculating that New Japan's gonna go on a poaching because of how their roster is, and maybe that people aren't quite living up to expectations, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility, but I'll wait until it happens, I guess. I'm not gonna
I mean Mao, to some degree, has been a guy that hasn't really lived up to expectations of DDT. So I don't know if that's the guy you want to poach, but, you know.
Fair enough.
He's gotten a lot better. I will say that. He's gotten a lot better. No, he's gotten really, consistently great this year. He's been consistently great over, the last, 24 months or so. He was a bit myopic, before that. But now, I think he's really has it figured out, what he needs to do, which makes it even weirder that DDT just kind of refuses to really kind of do anything with him.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see if they do anything with him next, because, we have, the Dio when it's coming up, right? Okay, so Dramatic Dream Match, which was really also the mostly highly promoted match of the show, actually, if you look at the poster. Hiroshi Tanahashi defeated Daisuke Dino in 1629 with a crab hold. Paul, I don't have much to say about this match except for, I'll give him credit for this, because this was what you'd expect it to be. They made this feel like a bigger deal than any of Tanahashi's countdown matches in New Japan most.
Yes. No. It was better than that. I don't think that was great. I did the pageantry around the match. They had a video package and everything with Dean. The weird thing is that the video package was mostly about Dino and not Tanahashi. That's how Dino, right? Was this guy that came up from really low level kind of stuff. And then just it's now a big deal, essentially, even with the character that he has and all of that. Yeah. I get that. I mean, to be fair, you know what? Actually, DDT, that's what you should do, is build up your own guy, even if you bring in this legend from this other company. And you know what I will also say? Tanahashi gave Dino a lot more than he did Hirashima all those years ago.
Yes, he did, actually. I never thought of that.
Which, again, that's the one time Tanahashi was just a complete fucking asshole and just refused to just give the other guy anything.
I don't know. I just thought the pageantry was the best part about the match, actually.
And absolutely.
Okay. And this is this is a major, countdown to retirement of one of the biggest stars in wrestling history, et cetera, et cetera. So, I don't know. It succeeded from that perspective. I don't know much else to say about the match.
No. The match was whatever. It was pretty pedestrian. Basically both of them walked through their signature spots. You even had Tanahashi pulled on his pants to reveal that he was wearing the same kind of thong that Dino was wearing and all of that. And it was fine for what it was.
Yeah, but the crowd was very hot. Not surprising.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so then we go to the KOD Open Weight title. Yuki Ueno defeated Kazusada Higuchi in 2042 with the WR to win the title. So even before what will subsequently happen, I was like, too soon.
Yeah.
Too soon. This was good. Not as good as the match the day before. I thought it took a little bit. It was a little slower to get going. But again, once these guys do hit their stride, it was awesome. I would give Akiyama versus Higuchi 4.25 stars. I'd give this 4 stars.
Mm-hmm.
But of course you can't avoid what happened next when Kazuki Harada came out to cash in his challenge anywhere, anytime match, and then pinned Ueno with the one shot reverse miracle inside cradle in 251. And I was just like, oh God, turn this off. And might I note, this is the first time, if you want to count Dino as a comedy wrestler, I mean, he is, but he's a little unique because he's also the top star of the promotion, but Dino hasn't held the KOD title since 2018. So if you want to think about it, this is the first time in 7 years that they've decided to go with the comedy guy with the title.
Dino also had a legit 4-star match with Drew Nakayama.
Yes.
So, which is more than I can say for Hirata. Where here's the thing. I actually kind of enjoy Hirata's shtick. It's funny enough, but it's not a guy I would ever consider putting my top title on. If I look at the DDT roster, there's so many guys on there I would put the title on before him. Where I'm just I don't know. Maybe I'm out of step here with the DDT fans, and this is actually a really fun long thing. But I really hope this isn't this a long thing they've been longing for forever or whatever, you know. Because I'm kind of I kind of drop in and out of DDT. It's not I watch every show and all of that. So I don't understand why they did this. And I hope it's not a long-term thing. I hope this is like, oh, we did this fun thing for like the moment at the end of Peter Pan, and then he just loses it on his first defense. Because I just, like, he rather just, like, he's not a top guy. Like, he just isn't. Just
no.
He's the funny dancing man from the undercard. And they also didn't do anything over these two shows to build him up. Like, in neither, like, he wasn't, like, he won neither of his matches. And he wasn't even involved in the finish of either of the matches that he wrestled on these two shows.
Yeah.
Except for, like, this one, obviously. But, like...
It's funny, because you're a little more generous than I am with this. Mm-hmm. I get sucked. I don't like this. This is why I don't watch ZDT undercards. This is very off-putting. And I also consider flirting with the idea of maybe putting, like, DDT number 3 as promotion of the year. Like my Observer ones or something, because I'm like, this is pretty good. Higuchi's been awesome, but this is just a complete turnoff for me about this at all. So
I mean,
I'll tune in back when Higuchi's challenging for the title again or something.
I mean, fair enough. I mean, literally an hour show before we start, hour or so before we started recording, I actually contacted John Carroll to be like, hey, yeah, because they're like looking for people that want to go into like the ticket lottery for like the January 3rd DDT Hurricane, because they want to go for like front row tickets for that. And I was like, you know what? Put me in on that. At first I was like, yeah, I'll definitely do it. Then I was like, but do I really want to watch like Hirata as like the KOD champion?
Well, I mean, if you're going to be there, you might as well do that. I think that's
different. Yes. Yeah. No, but then I also considered, okay, like it's September now. It is still like, 3-ish months left, right, until that show actually happens. There's enough time for him to lose that belt. I just do not foresee them giving this, like, maybe they'll give him one title defense. Just so that, like, but here's the thing, like, it works way better with Ferrara's character if he just loses it immediately on his first title defense.
Sure.
If he's not even competitive in the match. Like, if he just, like, heck, you know what you should do? Should just have Higuchi challenge him and just beat him in like 5 seconds.
That works.
Yeah.
Then what was the point of all of this?
I don't know. That's why I hate cash-ins. I don't give a shit which promotion does it. They're always dog shit.
They are. So that's DDT. Although I think what is Takeshi teaming with Taishin Takeshi at Ultimate Party? I think I saw that.
Yeah.
That's quite the team.
I mean, there's probably going to be enough on Ultimate Party for us to like check that one out as well.
Oh, yeah. I'll check out the party. Oh, I see on September 14th, Yuka Uendo versus Hideki Okutani. That's worth watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'll keep an eye on the cards, but you know, when we get there, I'll watch it when it actually really does look interesting. So we go from DDT to Pro Wrestling NOAH. And we start with their Corken Hall show on August 16th. Feels so long ago now. Corken Hall in front of 1,598 fans for a Supernova vacancy full house. I don't think that's any surprise there.
Yeah, no. And they're already on track to like sell out the next two Corkens as well. The N1 opener, which, I mean, that one better sell out given like how much they've loaded up that card. Well, but then the N1 finals.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
Like the N1 finals. Yeah.
I'd also hope that would sell out.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, I would have expected it to sell out. I wouldn't expect it to already look like this. Like, there's not that much tickets available for that one already. We don't even really know who's going to be in that. So, like, it's less a thing of, like, oh, they're selling out the finals. It's more of a, oh, they're already selling out the finals before we have any decent idea who's going to be there.
So, first, we had Ada, Alejandro, Kai Fujimori, Dekio, Tsushima, defeating Hiromu Takahashi, Atsushi Kitoge, Amasa, and Juta Miyawaki in 6:23. When Ada pinned Miyawaki with the Imperial Uno, surprise, surprise. Like, it was a nice little, like, everybody do their shit, but too short to make anything of it.
Yeah.
And then Uka Sasaki, Hayata, and Tetsuya Endo defeated Kenno, Shuhei Taniguchi, and Black Mensa-Rei in 5:26 at the horizontal cradle from Endo on Mensa-Rei. Well, they kept it short.
Yeah, no, I mean, it really wasn't anything to this, but just
Masa Kitamiya and Tadasuke defeated Manabu Soi and Daiki Nab in 3:41 with the Stranglehold Gamma on Kitamiya on Inaba. Damn, they're really pushing Kitamiya because he just like steamrolled the last tag team champs.
Yep, And in Harbour, back to drawing as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he always was, right? He's the guy who roll up someone. I don't think that's a big deal necessarily. But I would like to have said maybe kept Sawyer and Inaba more credible as tag team challengers.
I mean, they're going through the exact same arc that like Masa Kitami and Daiki Inaba went as a team.
Yes, yes. Go Shiozaki, Muhammad Yonhei, and Hajime Ohara defeat Takashi Sugira, Daga, and Nall in 8:43 when Daga got disqualified. So there's nothing to talk about there.
Wait, no. Is this where like Nall brought out the mask, or was this on one of the later?
Oh yeah. Sorry,
I think it was this show, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the mask?
I don't know. I was like, it just seems pointless stuff from Team 2008. See, like, the ass kickers, like they were in the Kinmiya stuff. Like,
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, this just feels even further. Like, it's like they just brought in Null, you know, as a replacement. And now they're like, okay, what do we actually do with you now that we actually have you here? And I think they've already kind of run out of ideas.
And then Kaito Kimiya defeated Harutoki in 9:47 with the Skywalk elbow. Solid, but I don't know. Maybe I was expecting a little more.
Mm-hmm. Like, especially because this was one of those matches where, like, I think that's all, like, intended for Harutoki to, like, prove himself. And it was fine. I liked the match with Go way more than this one.
Yeah.
But it just kind of lacked intensity. Like, yes, it was a mid-card match, but it also just, I don't know, I feel like, despite the fact that it wasn't a mid-card, like especially for Harutoki, I would have, like, liked him to, like, dial it up a bit more. I don't know. Like, I will still reserve judgment, but maybe that's just who he is. But I will reserve final judgment until after the N1.
Right. And then next up, Galeno, Dragon Bane, Alpha Wolf, and Super Crazy defeated Luis Monte, Flamita, Bendito, and Calibus at 10:48 with the Galeno special from Galeno on Calibus. And this was good, even though Super Crazy was there. But hey, it's only 1 out of 8. That's only 12.5% of the match dragging it down.
I mean, he's really just there to, like, you know, bring the guys. Like, he's just there to bring the guys into the country and serve as their translator. But
yeah, exactly. So this is a lot of fun. And honestly, given the undercard, I was actually like, okay, this is probably, one could make an argument that this should have been earlier in the show, or also this like regained my attention to the show.
Yeah, I feel like if this had been early and then we would have gotten the rest of the show after that, I would have been like trying to like claw my attention back for like Ozawa versus Owada-san, whereas like this way I was like a lot more engaged into that because this match really shook me awake.
Yeah. So the Owada-san send-off match, Ozawa defeated Owada-san in 12:54 with the Real Rebel. I thought this was pretty good in terms of just this overall presentation, right? Like, Ozawa roughed him up, and then, you know, Owada-san proved he could play a dirty game too, and then made a pretty good comeback. And that, but then, you know, Ozawa cuts him off and finished him off. I also like how they didn't punk him out of Team 2000X, but like they held him up and they embraced, like, you know, you go out there and get him and come back type thing. I thought that was a nice touch, and not just everything being Team 2000X just trolling everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I liked it more than if they, like, for example, would have kicked him out of the faction or something like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, they kind of kept it clean and everything. It was just a nice match. And also, we now know where Owada-san is going as well, because he's popped up in Europe now.
Europe, as mostly expected.
Yeah, I mean, he's actually going to be on a GWF show this Sunday. I won't be able to go because, like, the NFL season is also starting that day, so I'm going to be busy. So, but yeah, like I expected. Like, didn't I say that he was going to be that he was going to end up at GWF, because they very clearly, like, whoever it is that who's the hookup has, like, you know, some sort of relationship with Noah.
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, I think he's going to get. I mean, look, it's funny because I saw one Ozawa match in Europe and it didn't go very well, and then a couple months later he was back in the, you know,
took over. Yeah.
So, you know, I have fairly high hopes for Owada-san, and they are clearly positioning Owada-san going off in a send-off as he's going to come back as a big deal, much more than they gave Ozawa.
Oh no, Ozawa was basically like, that was more or less like, wasn't that announced in like a backstage like promo or something?
I don't know. But there was no send off like this, right?
No, not like this. Okay, Gerard, here's the problem. You know who's the last person that got like a send-off like this?
Who?
Junta Miyawaki.
Oh, no. Oh, he got not one, but two. Well, he didn't get a second send-off. They just said, oh, he's back in Mexico.
Yeah, he sure was. But no, but he got the match with Kaito as a send-off.
Oh, that's right, yes. But once he comes back, I'm assuming that the countdown's on for either Team 2000X kicking him out or he turning on Ozawa, right?
Yeah, I mean, if Ozawa is still a heel when he comes back, that's the other thing.
Well, I mean, I could see, you know, Ozawa being a face, then Awada-san returning, probably just as Awada. You know, you're not going to call him Awada-san once he graduates from basically young boy status. Basically returning and being like, oh, you know, you're gotten soft, you know, et cetera, type thing like that, right?
And then turning on him? Yeah, I know, I could see that for sure. Or they could even do thing where like they like redo the like Ozawa turn essentially, where he comes back at first like hey my buddy Ozawa, and then like turns on him basically after like a little.
Yeah. So we get to the main event for the GHC Heavyweight Championship. Kenta defeated Naomichi Marufuji in 32-21 with the go to sleep to make his first defense of the title. Paul, I don't even know where we want to start with this. Look, I got to take an owl because I assume Marufuji could at least do one good match this year.
Oh, same. But, didn't I say like this is guaranteed 4 stars or something?
But it's finally over.
Yeah. No, it's so over. He's done. He's so done.
So over. He's done. Stick a fork in him.
He's washed.
And we'll talk about something even scarier in a few minutes. But look, I mean, from the very beginning, he botched out over the rope. Pole thing, and of course, right? So, like, set it up, and then of course, it was like fine but dull going. I thought Kenta was great here trying to structure this match, had to be like epic.
Like, Kenta tried to like pull it back together, and then Marufuji just couldn't do it.
But just being able to be unable to be brought up for those go to sleeps at the end killed, because I was like, okay,
oh, God, yes.
But then I was like, okay, you can give this match 3.25, 3.5, maybe even. But then they just shit the bed at the end with the go to sleeps. And I was like, you can't give this a good rating type thing. And, you know, after the match, Kenta was clearly like embarrassed and said this so on the mic. I was like, oh, this wasn't what you were expecting.
Yeah. Or like, that's always bad, but like, yeah, that's
and
bad.
And the look of visible frustration to Kenta.
Yeah.
On his face during that. And of course, he couldn't. If it was like a young guy, maybe he would slap him or something. He's not going to do that to Marufuji. He's just got to go with the flow and everything like that. But like, not good. And real, a real downer of what was supposed to be a big moment for both of those guys.
Yeah. And it, like, I think.
And this
like,
what? Wasn't this Marufuji's 30th anniversary or?
Yeah. Because around this time last year would have. Not last year. When, like, what, 2 years ago, right, was when he had the Osprey match? Yeah, 2 years ago was when he had the Osprey match.
And then
that was around this time of the year, yeah.
No, I don't think it would be his 30th anniversary. He debuted in 98. I thought he debuted a little earlier than that. Will he make it to his 30th anniversary? I'm the question now.
So, yeah, so this was his 27th anniversary then.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm thinking the Osprey match and then the AJ Styles match.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was that like, was okay, good. Yeah. I still expected something, but
nope.
Wasn't going to happen.
He's just done. Yeah, I mean, I will say this isn't the worst Marufuji match I've ever seen.
Well,
that's, I mean, that
the worst Marufuji match, that's his fault.
Yeah, I mean, now in hindsight, I'm asking myself, was actually all of that Ibushi's fault? But no, I mean, that was long enough ago where like, we can't really put that on Marufuji.
No.
Yeah. Like I was always say about that match was so bad that it made me active, that it made me so sad that I had to leave the show, and then the match got worse after I left.
Wow.
So, yeah. No, this wasn't that bad, but this was still a massive, massive disappointment. And, like, especially because this will be the last, like, Kenta Fuji, like, this will be the last, like, big Kenta Fuji singles title match we'll ever get. Like, there won't be another one. And the fact that this is what they go out on is, it's disappointing, but what can you do?
Yeah. So that sort of put a bad taste in everyone's mouth at the end of the show. But then I didn't watch any of the spot shows between this. So next up is the Mohamed Yoneh debut 30th anniversary show at Corcoran Hall in front of 1,189 fans. Down, obviously, but I didn't think the Yoneh anniversary show was going to sell at Corcoran, to be completely honest.
No. Because especially because they did this kind of last year for like Go, and that drew less fans than this, I think. So like the fact that now they can like sell more tickets with Yone's anniversary, I think just shows like what a power they've become in Korakuen.
Yeah. So I didn't watch everything on the show, but I did watch Ikuto Hidaka and Amasuka defeating Hayata and Deki Odashima in 7-14 when Hidaka made Odashima submit to the strong capture. And I thought this was a little fun little opener. It was so nice to see Hidaka, who I love so much and is very underrated, I think, historically, face off with Odashima.
Yeah.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Still the only guy that in that weird fake firing angle for Nozawa is the only guy that actually got fired, seemingly. Right? Because he was one of the members of, you know, what was it called again? Los Perros de Mal de Japón.
Oh, yes.
And then they all kind of went away. And then they all came back except for Hidaka.
Right. That's gone. Right. They were. And that was Kotaro Suzuki still there, too? He came back briefly too.
But I don't think he was in Los Perros de Mal de Japón.
Wasn't he?
Maybe. I can't keep it straight who was and what. I do remember that he got kicked out of Stinger.
You can't I feel like you can't blame Simon for he was in Los Perros de Mal de Japón.
Okay, he was. Okay.
Remember Al Tejano?
Oh yeah, as a junior, that was the fucking wildest thing ever. That was one of the wildest things Noah has ever done. It's just like, the fuck do you mean this guy's a junior? Come on, man! Like that's absurd.
Yeah, he
looks like he ate half the junior division.
I also watched the Yone family 300,000 yen meal ticket battle royal, and Juta actually won. I mean, it was it wasn't so bad by Japanese battle royal standards, I suppose. Certainly better than some of the last few that All Japan has done. Like, it's the best I can say about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I will say, Japanese battle royals are just, they're just never good on any of them.
And then we had a three-way tag. Alejandro and Kai Fujimura defeated Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf and Ada and Shuji Kondo in 7:34 with the high angle front cradle from Alejandro on Bane. And I thought that this was a fun little quick match and a big win for Alejandro, which is going to set up him and Fujimura challenging the Scopadori is coming up for the junior tag titles.
That one should be good.
And then Ozawa and Masa Kinemiya defeated Kenno and Shuhei Taniguchi in 5:22 with the stranglehold gamma on Kinemiya and Taniguchi. And it was another really good, fun, quick ass-kicking match. Like, Kinemiya is just a monster now. Mm-hmm. Actually, now that I think about it, I did watch most of the show, except for the semi
main event. Yeah, I was about to say, what didn't you watch from the show? You've kind of talked about all of it.
The semi-main event.
Ah, okay. Fair enough. No, absolutely not.
Yeah. And then we had the N1 scramble match, which is Kaito Kinemiya, Tetsuya Endo, and Daga defeating Kenta Manabu Soya and Kazuyuki Fujita in 12:32 with the inside cradle from Kimi on Kenta. Again, fun little everybody gets their shit in, but with the big surprise of Kimiya pinning the champion, leading into their N1 match coming up on the opening night, right? So that's
Keeping
things up type thing.
Yeah, giving that a bit more like intrigue.
I did not watch Tadasuke defeating Hajime Ohara.
Yeah, that's really not that much to talk about. I did watch it. It was, it was 10 minutes. Like, it's hard to say it was too long, but I don't know. You know what? Actually, I think it was kind of too long. I think you could have given this like 8. Yeah. Like, I don't know why this was the semi-main. Like, it just, I don't know. Like, okay, I get it when you push Hajime Ohara when he's in his hometown, but like, why is he getting semi-mains in Korakuen? That just is unnecessary.
Yeah, for sure. And then main event, Mohamed Yoneh 30th anniversary match. Naomichi Marufuji, Muhammad Yoni, and Daisuke Ikeda defeated Goshi Ozaki, Tsuji Ishikawa, and Tsuchi Kitoge in 2048 with the muscle buster on Yone from Kitoge, which is poor Kitoge. So, I mean, this was a lot of fun, right? And my God, Ikeda is still a madman.
Oh, yeah. he worked so much harder than I thought he would in this match. And like, same with Yone, right?
Well, that's not surprising.
Yeah, I mean, but with Yone, it's always like, you forget that, like, when he actually wants, like, he's also one of those guys, when he still wants to, he can still go hard. It's just that 99% of the time, he's just kind of like, yeah. Well, he did at the very beginning of 2024. I do remember that. Right. Because I remember, like, I was there at, like, you know, like the...
Was that when Limit Break started?
Yeah, that's when they formed Team Noah. Yeah. Because like at the New Year's show, it was like I remember Yone. I was like, what the fuck? Why is Yone working so hard? And then they did the like match at the Kirk, and I was like, what is happening? And then they come out. It's like, yeah, we're forming Team Noah. I'm like, oh, okay, that's why you're like pull out all of the stuff, because they're actually doing something with you. Okay, now that makes more sense.
So yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. Some people, I mean, Ishikawa and Ikeda went the hardest because they just went in the headbutt insanity. And
yeah,
it got busted open, so that was a lot of fun, you know, your battle arts like that. So you know, I mean, there's not much else to say about it. It was just a fun match with the old guys. We have some N1 announcements of participants finally, and Block A: Kenta, Kaito Kiyomiya, Manabu Soya, Uko Sasaki, Kazuyuki Fujita, Tetsuya Endo, Masa Kitamiya, and Daga, Black B, Galeno, Naomichi Marufuji, Keno, Daiki Inaba, Jack Morris, Haru Toki, Ricky Knight Jr., and Ozawa. Paul, first thoughts on that lineup for the N1?
I mean, it definitely kind of puts a bit of a kibosh on us, like, predicting that Jack Morris is leaving, or at least not soonish, right?
Yeah.
Because we were like, well, if he's not in, he's definitely leaving, but, like, he is, so, like, he's definitely going to stick around at least for, like, this one more month. I was a bit surprised about a bit of a lack of outsiders. Ricky Knight Jr. being the only one is a bit... Ricky isn't exact. Like, he's fine.
He's fine, yes. He does not like the
like
word...
Like, aggressively fine, yeah.
Aggressively fine, yeah.
He's, you know what he is? He's Beans on Toast Daichi Hashimoto.
I thought you were going to say Beans on Toast Will Ospreay.
Oh, God, no, he's not. Like, no.
He wants to be.
Yeah, he doesn't have that ability at all.
No. Yeah, I thought his match against Kaito Kiyomiya in the UK last year was a little like meh and everything. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's interesting that they did not. I mean, they compacted the N1 pretty compact, like compacted the length of it this year, pretty in terms of shows, pretty small. Yeah, I'm really kind of somewhat surprised. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw some people commenting on the fact that there's no like NXT guys in this, but like, I don't really make that much out of that. Like, I don't know. Do you think that's like anything? Because I don't think so.
Nah, I don't think much of
it. Yeah.
Except NXT Japan is not incoming people.
It never was. NXT Europe isn't even a thing, and that was already 10 years at best. And then
isn't Aga LeBlanc in I don't know what Mike D's health condition is, but aren't they supposed to be reporting soon?
Oh, they are, but they're going to Florida. They're not
opening
up anything in Europe. Like it's very obvious that they never had any plans to do so, and like they're definitely not opening anything in a market where like Japan, like just no, like this relationship will end whenever like Abima is like, whenever like WWE goes off of Abima, and this relationship might already be over because you know what the feeling I have is that they started sniffing around Kaito Kiyomiya. Noah put the like basically Noah shut that down immediately, and then they just you know sent them like Inamura because they don't give a shit about Inamura, and they were like, yeah, you can have this guy, and I think that's about the extent of the relationship.
I believe Inamura is still a regular on TV.
I mean, he had a title match not that long ago.
Okay, yeah. Last thing was on the 19th in a Philadelphia street fight.
Yeah.
It's Josh Briggs, of course.
Of course.
755 on Cage Match, 3¾ stars on from
Dave. Yeah, but like it's WWE ratings. Like how much of a thing you can actually give on that.
So let's look at the first night because it's big.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got... So this is on... And then we'll look at the last block night, because those are the only nights that matter.
Yeah.
So we got Daga versus Tetsuya Endo, Deki Inaba versus Jack Morris, Galeno versus Harutoki, Manabusari versus Masa Kitamiya. Circle that one, folks.
I mean, here's the thing. That could be a squash.
Yeah, it could be. I think it might.
Yeah, that could be a thing where, like, Kitamiya just, like, taps him out in, like, 2 minutes.
We got
to, like, establish him.
Yeah. Ricky Knight Jr. versus Keno.
Yeah.
I think we all know where that's
going. I mean, Ricky Knight Jr. is going to win.
Yeah, of course. We got Oka Sasaki versus Kazuyuki Fujita. And really, Sasaki should win.
Yeah, he should.
It'll be interesting how they get Fujita, book Fujita in.
Yeah, but Sasaki is a shooter, right? Like, I think that if you can convince him to drop to anybody.
Fujita in the whole tournament.
Is Yeah.
Very close.
But this might be one of the, like, just straight losses that he's willing to take, because Sasaki is, like, a former UFC guy, so.
Yeah, for sure. And then we have Ozawa versus Naomichi Marufuji, and we should talk about, is this man going to be able to do this tournament?
Yeah, they might have to keep his matches short, right?
Like, they should. Look, even if he didn't shit the bet in the title match, you're going to put him in the tournament. All his matches got to be 10 minutes or less. No.
Yeah. Like, I feel like this is probably going to be one of his longest matches in the entire tournament. Yeah. And it's going to be, like, Ozawa bumping around him.
And then we got a GHC Junior title match, finally, Yohei versus Kenta versus Kaito Kiyomiya.
Also, Hiromu's obviously winning that, right?
Yes. Like, and then Kenta versus Kaito Kiyomiya. Paul, who's winning this? Because we just saw Kaito get the inside cradle win, the tag. Think he wins again, and then Kaito might win this tournament?
I don't know if it's Kaito's winning this tournament, but I do think he's winning this match. I do think he's winning this match, and... Yeah, I don't like, because it gives him like the potential to challenge. Like, I still don't really know. I mean, maybe it is just going to be Kenta. Maybe they're going to have him beat Kenta here and then they just have him go all the way. But I think he's definitely for sure winning this match, because there's really no reason for him to not win this match.
And then the last block night is on Sunday, September 21st at Tochigi Light Cube. Utsunomiya, which All Japan is running this weekend, actually.
Right. That's where they have the other, like, semifinals.
Miyahara versus Nomura. So, in this show, we have Daiki Inaba versus Harutoki. Not going to count for anything.
No, I would be shocked if that's, like, to eliminate. I'm actually shocked that they put those two against each other, because that felt like two guys they would have, like, jotted down to, like, have a shock winner on the final block night to eliminate somebody.
Well, there's a lot of meaty stuff on this night, because, Paul, we've got a big grudge match. We got Jack Morris versus Ozawa, and I feel like this could be a knockout match.
Yeah, I feel like Jack is going to, like, eliminate Ozawa here.
We got Naomichi Marufuji versus Ricky Knight. That could be ugly.
Oh, that could be bad, yeah.
We got Galeno versus Keno.
Who's eliminating who here? I almost feel like Keno is eliminating Galeno so he can, like, challenge for the national title.
Yep. Paul, we got Kazuyuki Fujita versus Masa Kitamiya, and I think this is finally the time.
Where Fujita puts over Kitamiya?
Yeah.
Because I could see Kitamiya go to the finals, to be honest.
Yes, honestly, given the way they're pushing him.
Yeah.
And we've got Manabusoya.
But that would mean Kaito isn't going to the finals, so.
Right. We've got Manabusoya versus Uka Sasaki. I wouldn't totally rule out that match means something.
I don't think Sawyer's picking up many wins, to be honest, unfortunately. Yeah. And I think he's, like, eliminating, like, Olga here.
We got Kaito Kiyomiya versus Daga, and Paul, I could definitely see Daga getting an upset here to knock out Kaito.
To knock out Kaito so that Kitamiya can go through. Yeah, I could see that.
And then Kenta versus Tetsuya Endo, which also feels like it will have something with big stakes.
Yeah. I mean, if Kitamiya isn't going through, I would like write this match down as like the match that decides the block, essentially.
Yeah, definitely. And Paul, before we head over to All Japan, I did watch one match from the August 30th show at Sendai Pit, and it was the main event. Mm-hmm. Kenta and Deki Odashima defeating Kaito Kiyomiya and Kai Fujimura in 1849 with the game over from Kenta on Fujimura. Just because of what that match was, this is the only match that like caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. If we put Daiki Urashima in the main event, it's going to be great.
Yeah. And so that's exactly why I wanted to see it. And yeah, it's worth watching. I didn't watch anything else on the show. There's nothing else on the show that looked even remotely interesting. Maybe the main event. Semi-main was Ozawa, Takashi Sugiura, and Daga defeating Marufuji, Kenoh, and Asuka. I don't know if that sounds good. Oh my God, there's a Super Crazy versus Black Mensa Ray match on this show. Definitely not going to watch.
No. But just quickly, you know, for the...
If you got a few minutes, watch the main event.
No, no, just for quick, just on the N1. On the N1.
Yeah.
Because just looking at it, like, the winner is coming out of A block, right? Like, I'm just looking at B block, and I'm just like, I don't think any of these people have, like... Like, I'm having a hard time picking, like, the guy that goes through from B block to the final.
Morris.
Morris, maybe.
Kano, you can never rule out. Ozawa.
Yeah. But, like, I don't think any of these guys have a chance to win. Like, I think the winner is coming out of A block. Like, I think it's going to be either Kaito. Well, I don't even know if Kitamiya. Like, if Kitamiya goes to the final, I don't think he... Yeah, like, I think it's, like, Kaito or Endo, to be honest. Like, if I just look, like, the way there's a structure.
Yeah. All right. So that, do you have any closing thoughts on Pro Wrestling Noah?
I really enjoy Noah, to be honest, overall. Like, I think, like, the roster is, like, really good. Like, they're still pretty hot even after Ozawa lost the title. Like, I just want them to announce their fucking New Year's show finally. Like, they've already announced it last year at this time. So they better not put this, like, in a smaller building. They better put this back in Budokan. I don't want them to fuck me over two times in a row of me not being able to go to Budokan. Even I have a hotel within, like, really close to Budokan. Like, come on, man. Like, don't do this to
me. And Ariake is far away, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even if it's Ariake, like I saw some people be like, what if they put it in, like, Outer Ward? I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to go all the way down there. Like, please, no. Especially not on New Year's Eve. I'm probably going to be hungover.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think I'll give this N1 a chance, even if it lacks. I think there could be good, even if it lacks the pizzazz of the Big Outside. My feeling. And once we got over the hump of the Marufuji and Kenta match and watching some more recent stuff, I do feel better. But God, that left a bad taste in my mouth.
No, and that one was just kind of sad because it was just, yeah. I mean, Kenta's time isn't done yet, but, like, Marufuji's time is—it's over. It's over.
Oh, God,
over.
Yeah,
it's just done.
So, we move on to All Japan, and the big news to start is Yuma Anzai will be back on September 23rd, which is their show. I think it's where the Royal Road tournament winner is challenging. I suspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
back in the mix, finally.
God, this promotion desperately needs him.
Well. You say that, and I agree, but I feel like some of the choices here still would have been shit, even if he wasn't.
Oh, no. This tournament still would have been terrible, even with Anzai there, yeah.
So, Corkin Hall, 983 fans. I think some people took this as not good, which it's not great, but mind you, in 2023, the last time they had the first night in Corkin Hall, it drew like 936.
Yeah, no.
Do not draw for All Japan.
No, it does not. Like, same with Champion Carnival opener. A Champion Carnival opener also always draws horribly. For some reason, All Japan fans just don't like tournament openers. Like, they just don't buy tickets.
Yeah. Unless it's, like, really big or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, no, I don't really, like, I get that it's a bad number, but, like, I'm far from, like, dooming just over this. Like, there's other reasons to doom for, like, All Japan right now than this number.
Yeah. So, we start with... actually, did I watch this whole show? I know, but the first match was Asuka, Aoyagi, and Rising Hayato defeating Dan Tam and Ryo Inoue in 12:24 with the crucifix hold from Hayato on Inoue. Good match.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was like, oh man, this show is off to a good start, and kind of went from
there. Well, I didn't watch anything else until the Musashi 15th anniversary match of Musashi and Seki Yoshioka defeating the great Sasuke and Taro Nohashi in 10:48 with the Nitin and Chiru on Musashi from Musashi on Nohashi. Not much to this show. I mean, not much to this match. And no. I mean, but it was a fun little whatever, get it in there. But Sasuke didn't even shake his hand after the match.
Yeah. It's kind of an asshole-ish move there, especially because this was specific. I mean, maybe he still has, like, hard feelings over him leaving for All Japan or something, but then I guess the money was too good to turn down or whatever. Who knows?
Well,
maybe the money wasn't good, but it was also Sasuke can't turn down any money, so.
Sasuke's probably accumulated enough debt. I don't know if you've ever watched that great Sasuke documentary.
No.
There was is she Japanese Canadian or Japanese American? She might even be Japanese Canadian, but she did a documentary on the great Sasuke and like his daily grind with his family and running Michinoku Pro. And she released it a few years ago, like I think in the mid 2010s, but she, during the pandemic, she released it free on YouTube. And I watched it, and Sasuke talked about, like, he's like always heavily indebted.
Oh, poor guy.
And I think that's coming from Michinoku Pro, not like some secret gambling it was, right?
Yeah.
And if all election campaigns,
that makes money.
Yeah. So, you know, he's probably sore that one of his top stars left.
Yeah.
Even though he can't pay him. okay, so Odo Tournament Round 1. Daisuke Sakamoto defeated Mr. Saturn Rookie doing 643 with the Big Bang Catastrophe. Short but sweet, right? They did exactly Big Man versus Little Man. Huge pop when Doi gets Sakamoto up for that in the Fireman's Carry. And perfectly what it needed to be.
Turns out this was one of the best tournament matches.
Yeah,
I was like, you know what? This is a nice little start to the tournament. And then, okay, it's not all the way down because then we had the best match of the tournament next. But then, yeah, I didn't know it was all just downhill from like after the next match, essentially. I was like, you know what? After these next two matches, I was like, you know what? Maybe this tournament is going to be good. And then the rest of the tournament happened.
Okay, round one. Naoya Nomura defeated Yuma Aoyagi in 16:26 with the maximum pop. This was the best match of the tournament. And this was a great match. 4.25
stars. So fucking good.
My God. Believe in Naoya. This
man still has it. You know when I had that moment last time we recorded where I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just have Naoya Nomura win. You know what? I'm sticking with that. Like have him beat Kento on Sunday. Fuck it. Let's just go all the way. Just have him win. Have him win the Triple Crown. Let's go. Like, this guy is still so good. Maybe his body isn't able to hold up. But whatever. Who cares? Like, the shit that he's going to give us until his, like, body literally explodes is going to be so good. So let's just do it.
Yeah. He better beat Kento. They have to. I mean, you just have to spice things up, right?
Yeah. That's what he finally had. Like, otherwise, he'll never get that win over Kento. When else would he really ever get it? Like, this is your only chance to ever give it to us.
I'm just skeptical that they're not going to have Kento in those semis at Korakuen. Especially, look who else would be in him. It would be Honda, Ayabe, Sakamoto, and Nomura. Would they do that? Maybe. That's not the
one. Or it will be Odyssey.
Well, I wouldn't rule that out, but I do think it's going to be sick. But yes, this match was awesome.
Yeah.
Nomura just being crazy and bumping like a madman.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was nuts. And he also got like Yuma to be serious as well, which is always good as well.
Well, that's why we need Naoya Nomura, because you killed him with one stone. You get Naoya Nomura back, and then Yuma Aoyagi stops being a clown.
Yeah, he slapped some sense into Yuma like straight away.
Exactly. So go out of your way to see this, even if you've heard horrible things about this tournament.
Yeah. No, this is by and so far and away the best. Like, this is one of the best matches, like one of the best singles matches of the entire promotion this year.
Yeah, for sure. And it's incredible performance from a guy that has barely wrestled in the last 5 years.
And may not have a functioning neck or a functioning knee.
Yeah.
And or.
Then main event, Kento Miyahara defeated Kengo Mashimo in 21:06 with a shutdown German suplex hold. I saw some people say this sucked. I just thought it was dry and Kento paid my numbers. Yep. Finishing sequence was kind of fun where he catches him in the shutdown and everything like that. But you've seen this match in your head a million times, I guess.
Yeah. That's really the thing. But I was disappointed. I actually went into this with fairly high expectations. Because obviously, I mean, it's Kento, and then I think Kengo can go with the right opponent like really, really well. And they just both were just like, nah, let's just do the most paint by the numbers basic match we can think of. And we just run through our signature spots. That's all we'll do. And yeah, I was just like, I was just disappointed. It wasn't bad, but it was disappointing.
Well, it's funny because I didn't think much of this. I was like, okay, yeah, well, that wasn't much, but I didn't think much of it. Right? I didn't think that this was the beginning of the decline.
Yeah. I mean, this was still one of the best matches in the tournament, technically.
Yeah, for sure. So, Paul, can you hear the drilling outside my door? They're doing construction. Construction outside. Can you hear it?
No, I can't hear it. So hopefully it doesn't pick up on the
recording. I got my mic setting to on background noise, so hopefully it doesn't pick it up. But we go to the next show at Kunibiki Messe Large Exhibition Hall in front of 450 fans. Paul, I did not watch the six-man tag team title because the challenging team was Carl Bell, Ito, Almighty Inoue, and Ray Poole.
Like, oh, yeah, no, I mean, it was exactly what you're thinking was.
I'm cool. Was there anything else on the undercard?
Not really, to be honest. That's just, I think, just the thing about this entire, like, tour is just the undercards are just rough. Very rough. I don't know why I watched all of them.
So, okay, next, round one. Odyssey defeated Hideki Suzuki in 13:23 with the Journey's End. Paul, I think people were skeptical of Odyssey's ability in the ring as a WWE Performance Center guy. Mm-hmm. This, we need to talk about Hideki. Much like in the Champion Carnival against Zion, he gets in there against someone I assume that he had a hand in bringing to this company. Do we know for sure? No.
But no.
There's plenty of circumstantial evidence.
Who the fuck else would want to bring in this guy?
Yes, I know. I know. But the point is, he did nothing in that match against Zion. He did nothing.
No.
I thought the Zion match was worse, but I mean,
yeah,
technically, but whatever.
I don't get why he just refuses to work with the guys he forces on the promotion.
So, you know, Mitch in the VOW Discord pointed out the thing after the Zion match. He heard that Hideki is bad with putting together matches against inexperienced guys. And I don't know if that's true or not, but if it that's a knock against Hideki, because usually when I think of someone at Hideki wrestling ability, most of them can carry good people, can carry weaker opponents through something passable.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it absolutely is. No, he very clearly does not. Again, I think that might just be his limitation. I mean, remember, right, when, like, I mean, we say, like, Daichi is, like, serviceable now, right? But he was, like, pretty bad early on in his Big Japan run. And again, this was when he had that match with Hideki Suzuki for the Big Japan Strong title. That was really bad, right? And at the time, we very much, like, blamed Daichi for it. It was like, well, Daichi just sucks. Well, turns out it probably was just Daichi not being experienced enough and Hideki not being able to make up for that. Why that match was so bad. Yeah. And again, now that also makes more sense why, like, for example, whenever he wrestles like a young boy, those matches are always incredibly short.
That's true.
Like, right? Like, they always keep him like under 5 minutes, basically. So, like, that makes more sense now where, like, he probably just doesn't know how to structure them if they don't keep them short.
Yeah. Well, some of those young boy matches are fun when he just beats up like Inoue and stuff, but
yeah,
they're kept short.
Yeah.
Right. Type thing. Okay. So, and then the main event of the show, cause it only had two tournament matches, Davey Boy Smith Jr. defeated Shotaro Oshino in 2007 with the backdrop hold. Now, I don't know. People didn't like this either. I thought it was fine, dry, but there was some okay technical stuff in there. That's my take on this match. What about you?
No, it was serviceable, but at 20 minutes was too long. Like, it really kind of dragged for me by the end. I mean, if you kept this a little short, I probably would have enjoyed this more, but there wasn't really anything to sink your teeth into. It definitely was better than like Odyssey versus Hideki. I mean, that's not like that's hard. Yeah, just kind of pretty much a nothing match, just too long, dry, and just, I think if anything, this is like the match most emblematic of the tournament, of just it just being a big fat nothing, really.
Yeah. And then we go to Kobe Sambo Hall on the 31st in front of 615 fans. Did you watch the undercard? I did not.
Yes, I did. I don't know why I did this to myself. I'm so fucking sick of the fucking Havoc theme. Oh God, these Havoc undercard matches are dog shit. It's so bad. Like, that's my only comment. Like, the entire undercard, like, there's nothing here. It's a complete waste of time. Don't watch it.
So, we go to the last three round one matches. Ryuki Honda defeated Kuma Rashi in 15:04 with the final event. Now, to be fair, this should probably be in the discussion of one of the better matches of the tournament. Not that it was blow, knock your socks off or anything, but just solid pro wrestling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Like, there's two guys going in, they're having a decent match, but again, this shouldn't rank in the upper half of like the matches for this tournament, but it does. No. So
now we go to the lower half of matches in this tournament. Defeated Hokuto Omori in 9:18 with the diving headbutt. And this was just a mess because they decided to do Hokuto of Torture. And we had
experience
from Hokuto Gun and everything like that. And yeah, nothing to this.
No. I would say even 9 minutes was too long for this.
And then in the main event, Ren Ayabe defeated Jun Saito in 20 minutes with the death roulette. Now we'll start with the positives. Great looking death roulette from, like, how does he do it to these big guys?
That is genuinely impressive, like, especially how spindly he looks.
Yeah.
Now he has to do some real good core training, actually. That might be
probably
it.
Probably does. I mean, this was 20 minutes of these two, so it was just dry and boring. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't call it bad.
No, I did like the finishing sequence.
Yes, yes, that was. But if you docked this down to 15, we could have some more nice things to say about it, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Like, there were times where I just, like, started zoning out real bad on this.
Yeah. And then, so the Triple Crown champion's out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move on to Shin Kiba first ring in front of 339 fans for Super No Vacancy Full House, which is, you know, not surprising in Shin Kiba. Paul, I actually watched two matches from the undercard on this show.
Ooh.
Was
it Havoc versus Hoktagon?
No, it was not.
Well, good of you, actually.
Daisuke Sakamoto defeat Ryo Inoue in 852 with the Argentine backbreaker. Because I was like, hey, that looks like it could be good.
Mm-hmm.
And it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a fun, like, little opening match to these guys, right? As I expected. I also watched Kento Miyahara, Musashi, and Seki Yoshioka defeating Yuma Aoyagi, Atsuki Aoyagi, and Rising Hado in 1443 when Musashi used a Ninin and Chiru on Musashi, on Atsuki. And after the match, they beat up the Aoyagi brothers to put some heat on their upcoming All Asia tag title match, which will be on the end of the tournament at Korakuen.
Yeah. And I think I said this, where it's like, this is exactly what this promotion has been missing.
Yes.
Right? Like, this wasn't like pop and light. This was like, I actually liked the entire structure of the match because, like, okay, would you say this was like a full heel turn?
No. But then the heels, Musashi and Yoshioka are the heels going into this.
Yeah. But, like, for example, like, Musashi, like, throughout the match, like, did more and more heelish stuff, right? And like some of it you could, like, defend or whatever. Like, for example, when he, like, pulled, like, Yuma, like, into the way of, like, Atsuki's, like, backspring, like, elbow, right? But it's like, well, why is Yuma even there? Like, that's kind of it's a bit of a dick thing to do, but you know what? Like, Yuma shouldn't be there, so. But then he, like, during the finish, right, like, he pulls up Atsuki out of the pin. Right, like, Atsuki doesn't kick out, like, he pulls him up and then hits his finish on him as the extra thing, and then in the post-match, they beat him down, like,
yeah.
This is, I think, exactly what this promotion is missing. Like, I don't want, like, Voodoo Murderers back or anything like that, but, like, I want something more like what, like, Musashi and Yoshioka were showing here, but, like, you know, they're assholes that will beat you up, like, that's what I want, and that's what I think the promotion has been missing, where everybody's just, like, playing patty cakes with each other.
Yeah. So we go to the round two of the tournament. Ryuki Honda defeated Davey Boy Smith Jr. in 1550 with a cradle from Superplex, which I hate that spot.
That was so fucking stupid.
It's just contrived and stupid. Yeah. But, I mean, it was okay match. It just ran into Davey Boy Smith dryness, but Honda tried.
Yeah. And the Davey Boy Smith, like, jobberitis as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like,
but it's like, no, I can't be hit with the final event. Like,
this is really how they should be booking Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Yeah, you should be losing to the Hondas. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, in a tournament,
but you should be losing to them clean.
Yeah, because he had him going for the final event, and then Smith fought back, and then put him in a superplex, and then that's when the pin.
Yeah,
oh, I have a lot to say about this match, Paul. I'm gonna have to Ren Ayabe defeated Zion in the main event of the show, which is crazy enough, because you feel like Smith versus the Honda in 2202 with the death roulette.
Terrorism. This is terrorism.
I thought it was 5 out of 10 match, which exceeded my expectations when I woke up and I learned that this had been a 22-minute match. I knew that before going into this, so maybe that's why. But
yeah,
I don't know. It was just very dry. It wasn't like Zion did not do stupid things, et cetera, et cetera. Very dry, and they took some time between spots, whatever. But
because I didn't know it was 22 minutes. I was sitting there, I was like, I still remember, like, one of the only things I remember from this match is the 15 minute call where I'm like, are you for real? You've been going for 15 minutes. Oh my God. No. And in that moment, I'm like, they can't be going, oh God, this is the main event. They're going 20, aren't they? I was like, oh. No, actually, at that point, I was afraid they were going to go 30. I was so afraid they would go 30 or close to it. And luckily, they didn't. I guess I can't even say that the finishing sequence was as good as like the one Ayabe had with June.
Yeah.
It was serviceable overall, but like there was just nothing there for most of the match. Like if I was talking about was like struggling, like was like zoning out, like I zoned out a lot during this match. I really tried to pay attention, but there was just nothing to grab me. It was just like two guys exchanging moves in the ring, and just like it felt like they were both playing pro wrestler at times, and just yeah. Again, the death roulette on Zion looked impressive. I will give him that, but like, man, can we just stop with the Rena Yabe singles matches? Like I said, I actually like the tag team that he just formed. I think that's gonna be a lot of fun, but like this is just. I mean, maybe this is like your way, maybe where like you see if he can develop into anything. You give him like a few chances to like go have longer matches. But you know what? I think he would learn more if he had longer matches with good wrestlers and not Zion. So I would rather they do that instead of this.
Yeah. So that's the tournament so far.
It's bad. It's so bad. To be fair, I will say it has chances to turn around. I mean, obviously we have like Nomura versus Kaito versus Kento coming up. Like that's the big one.
Yeah, of course. Now, Paul, let's just quick before we go discuss this. So we have Kento this weekend. Kento Miyahara versus Naoya Nomura and Daisuke Sekimoto versus Odyssey. We have Ren Ayabe versus Roroki Honda in the semis. And Paul, I think we're going to continue the story of Honda continuing to make it to the finals.
Yeah. Where he beats the guy that like he lost to in the finals last year.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Here's what I think they should do. What was the match at Ota Ward with Honda?
What? Sorry, what do you mean?
Who did Honda face at Ota Ward Gym? Last month.
Sorry, I'm blanking completely right now.
Naoya Nomura.
Of course he did. Jesus Christ, sorry. yeah, he did. Yeah. So you think they're redoing that as the final?
And Han, as much as we say Nomura should win, I don't think Nomura going to the finals and losing to Honda, it still establishes him back as a player. I don't think he loses that much.
I mean, true, but Honda just had a title shot.
That's right. That's the thing. What about Honda? What about Nomura just beating Honda again, and then we push Honda's eventual win another year? I'd love this.
Exactly. Honda can wait another year. That's fine. Like I think 2026 is going to be his year anyway. I would actually argue it would be a little bit early if they put a title on him this year. I think next year is the year you put the title on.
Honda. Because hopefully Anzai will be back in the title picture.
Yeah.
And you want those guys in it, right?
Yeah. Oh my, you know what could be the title match? Okay, I don't want to like set myself up for like massive disappointment. But you know what could be the title match on December 31st?
I have a guess.
Yuma Anzai versus Naoya Nomura.
You think? I was going to say Kento versus Nomura.
That could also be the thing.
His win back. But are they going to put the triple crown on Nomura? That, to me, is the big question.
I mean,
it's not that the fans would reject it. It's that they're concerned about him.
It's a you can't do it for long. Like, you have to hope that his body can basically hold up for three months. Well, if he wins, he will win it at the end of September. So, like, 3 months, basically. You have to hope that his body can hold up for 3 months. So, like, about like let's say like no actually it would only be one would there even be another triple yeah there would be like one more triple crown match
there would
right?
be there's going to be a triple crown match in Hokkaido on the Hokkaido tour.
Yeah, so he has to hold up for that. And then would you even want to be like keeping him out, like even if it's weird to keep the triple crown champion out of the real world tag league, I think you almost kind of want to do that just to make sure he doesn't get injured.
Yeah, I think that's not the worst. I prefer him in, but that's not the worst.
Yeah, and like I think, because again, it's the only time you really, like, if you ever want to do it, now is the time to do it.
And if he holds up, you can put the triple crown back on him later.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, if his body holds up a bit more, then, like, you can put the title on him later again.
In January, and yeah.
Yeah. If they actually put him on a contract on January, and they sell it, like, oh my, well, to be fair, I probably will have to rush to the merch day, because I feel like if they start selling a shirt for him, like, that will just sell out immediately.
Actually, Paul, I remember now, I want to double check. There's another Korakuen in October before they go on the Hokkaido tour. So theoretically, I think Nomura, if they put it on him, could have two defenses.
Yeah. Unless they want to do like a tag title match or something there.
Yeah.
But again, like, I feel like now is like the time, like, if you ever want to do it, you do it now. Right? Because I think this is like your last chance, or yeah, potentially your last chance.
Yeah. They should. I mean, that's really the best route. I just think Kento over Anzai because the story is there.
And there isn't really one with Anzai and Nomura.
No.
But maybe that is the story. Maybe the story is like, you know, Nomura kind of was the guy that like was supposed to be the ace after Kento, and I never got there because of injuries. And now he's facing the guy that did, you know, that was then the guy that is going to be the ace after Kento.
That is a great story. I'm not against it. I just think drawing wise, I think Kento versus Nomura probably might
draws better. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not against that at all.
Yeah.
Either, right? So anyway, Paul, how would you feel if Daisuke Sakamoto won?
That's not really. I like Daisuke Sakamoto, but like if this was like Daisuke Sakamoto from 5 years ago winning, I would be a lot more excited than about like this current version of Daisuke Sakamoto winning.
Yeah.
Because then, so like, let's say, okay, like if he wins, like he probably just loses to June. And then, I don't know, like I really am not that interested in like.
Well, here's the other theory. Maybe I'm getting too out there, but look, Daisuke's working these undercards when he's not on, when he doesn't have tournament matches, right? Kengo Mishimo doesn't always do that. Some of these other freelancers don't. I think they want their claws in Daisuke as a regular. I don't know if they're going to sign him, but they want him as a regular, I think.
Oh, I think that's very obvious. No. I do think that's very obvious that they do want him as a regular.
The question
didn't
is,
they also say as much that like X is going to be a guy that it's going to vote regularly?
Something like that. I was too sure. So my question is then, do you sweeten the pot by giving him a title reign? And then he faces Kento at New Year's. Or Anzai or someone. Actually,
but again, from a drawing perspective, like, is that really going to do that much, though? Like, it'll be a good match, but, you know.
Yeah. I don't rule it out, but I would say it's probably, like, the third on my, like, plausibility of.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'll say this in closing. What's going to happen is keeping my attention, even if this tournament has not been very good, I guess.
No. it's been bad.
But if Nomura wasn't in this, then like no one would care at all, I guess.
Oh yeah, no. Like Nomura is like adding a lot of interest to this tournament. Like Odyssey is dog shit. Like even aside from all of the other stuff like that makes him odious to have around, he's also a really bad wrestler.
Well, I mean that's the performance center for
him. Yeah. Never has there been anything that has been like so terrible at putting out wrestlers. Oh, did you see the thing of where Dijak was like, oh yeah, I had this amazing match in PWG, and then they had me do like basic training like a couple of days later. I was like, what the fuck are we doing here? What is this?
Yeah, I saw that. Well, yeah, I mean, and they put Odyssey on the main roster at one, you know, before he got fired.
Yeah.
Like, let's do it, you know, and that's, and some of the people they bring up to the main roster are horrible.
Yeah.
From, you know, so yeah, that's been talked about enough. We just, you know, in Naoya, we trust.
Yeah.
Not, I don't know. Maybe that's a bold statement given his
history. Yeah, that's maybe that's the one thing we actually shouldn't be doing with Naoya Nomura.
I believe in him, you know.
Yeah. Hope dies last. So,
with that, I guess we'll come back after the finals. Because the N1 should have kicked off by then.
Yeah, the N1 kicks off on Monday.
Okay, perfect. So we can talk about the first few shows of the N1, and we can talk about the Champion Carnival Finals. And so until then, enjoy all the wrestling out there. Bye.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.